according to that last verse that Don read, it's possible to be an example. That's what James said, James 5, verse 10. As we think about people being an example, one person might exemplify suffering. As we look at people and how they might be an example, we might look at another individual and say, you are an example of patience, long-suffering. As was announced, today is Potluck Sunday. And I don't know that I'll do this every time, but at least for the foreseeable future, I'd like to engage in a series of studies where we'll deal with the same topic just to a fuller degree so we can kind of keep things going. Today I want to look at 17 people from the Bible. 17 people who offer us an example, a positive example to follow. This before lunch lesson, we'll deal with 9 individuals. After lunch, we will deal with 8 more. And of course, the ultimate example would be referenced, and that is Jesus. All but one of the examples taken this hour will come from the Old Testament. We want to look at some characters which should be fairly familiar to us: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Job, Moses, Joseph, David, Jonathan, and Abraham. Each one of these men, as we go back and look at their lives, serves as a good example, a good model for us. And we begin with Abel. When I think about Abel, one of the things that stands out about him is he was a model speaker. That's what the Bible says when it comes to Abel. Now, you might think a model speaker, initially you might think, well, we're talking about how he talked. But we're not told how Abel talked. We don't know if he had a deep voice, if he had a high-pitched voice. We don't know if he talked a lot. Maybe he was a fairly quiet man. No, Abel's speaking. He's a model example. He's a model speaker, not based on what he said and not based on how he said it. But Abel's model speaking is based, the Bible says, on creating a legacy. You may remember from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says Abel's dead. Abel's been dead for a long time. And yet, even though Abel has left this life many years ago, the Bible says he still speaks. He's still talking. He's still communicating with us. He is that model communicator. This man had great faith in God. He was dedicated to God in spite of some pretty terrible wickedness that came from his family. And that willingness to obey God, that willingness to be a faithful servant of God up until the time of his death, the Bible says that still speaks. Committed to God until his dying day. As we think about this man as far as an example, he's a good place to begin. Because his example, even though we never met him, can't go back and say we've got some family pictures, can't at least easily put him in our genealogy. He is a reminder that lives can continue to serve as examples after they die. He's one of the examples that we could tie in with James chapter 5, verse 10. As we think about our life, one day unless the Lord returns, we're going to die. And when that time comes for us to leave this life, will we, like Abel, leave behind an example? That living example that still speaks to future generations? Will later generations look at us? Children, grandchildren, friends, family members? Will they look back and say, so-and-so, that man, that woman, was part of a family, or maybe not part of a family that was committed to God, but he or she made that decision, and we remember that. We can make that choice. And if we pursue a life which is like Abel, we continue to speak after our death because we really tried to serve God and live in the right way, then we're also going to be similar to the second example in today's study. Abel is an important person in the book of Genesis, but he is by no means the only one. We also read about a second fella, who is Enoch, fairly early in the book. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 4, that Enoch was someone who walked with God. I'd like to suggest this morning that each one of us will walk with someone, or we might say something as we go through life. Now, that might be literally true. Sometimes there are people who have a walking partner. They like to go to the mall or maybe outside, and they like to walk with someone. But I'm thinking in non-literal terms. We're going to have some associations. We're going to join ourselves to some individuals as we go through life. We may decide that we're going to walk primarily with those who are non-Christians. Our walk through life is going to primarily involve the unsaved. As we think about walking with someone, we also could tie in the idea of attitudes. We're going to walk through life with certain attitudes. We're going to walk through life with certain hopes. We're going to walk through life with some kind of end result. Enoch provides us with an example, like Abel, headed in the right way. And heading in that right way allows us to walk with God every single day. A lot of people, as they go through life, they want their life to have meaning. They want their life to have value. They think, this is my daily routine. I get up, and I go to work, or I'm a homemaker, or I go to school, and this is just the same routine day in and day out. My life really doesn't have any meaning. I'm doing the same thing at the job. I'm doing the same thing at the house. I'm doing the same thing for recreation. It is the same old routine, so does it ever get better? Maybe we can retire. Maybe we can get out of school. Maybe we can change jobs. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can do that. But it just seems like we are in this treadmill. We're on this cycle, and nothing ever changes. Is there any meaning to my life? If you've asked those questions, walk with God. It'll change your life. It gives life meaning. It gives life purpose. It gives life value. And we see that from the life of Enoch. Now, it takes some courage to do that. It takes some commitment, because that's not the way that most people walk. It's not the way that most people live their lives. The world's way is the easiest way. But God gives us an example of walking with Him, Enoch, until our last breath, Abel. And James said in James 5, verse 10, you look at these examples, you learn from these examples, and you apply these examples. So far, we have a model speaker, Abel. We also have a model walker. Now we turn to a model worker. And if you think about the book of Genesis and you want to find a model worker, of course, we would likely turn to Noah. Most know Genesis 6, verses 13 and 14, that Noah was someone who built an ark of gopher wood. Now, that structure was really, really big. If you've not looked at the dimensions lately, the ark was about 450 feet long. It was about 70 feet wide. And as far as the height, it was about 45 feet high. We are not told how many years Noah spent building the ark. Now, I'm familiar with the reference to 120 years in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. There the Bible says that God's spirit would not strive with man forever. There would be a limited time. But I would not understand Genesis 6:3 to say that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. There are some indications that we can get, and without trying to go through all that this morning, I'd suggest that maybe a reasonable length of time, based on the limited information that we have, is that Noah may have spent somewhere around 55 to 75 years trying to build the ark. So let's just say 55 years for a good general figure. Can you imagine working on the same project day in and day out for 55 years? Board after board, problem after problem. As you think about Noah and what he exemplifies, you have here a man who was committed. He had a love for God. He had a commitment for God. He had faith in God, but he was someone who stuck with it. Like Enoch, Noah's life pictures as someone who walks with God. Each day, he knew what had to be done. Each day, he was surely able to say, I know what my day is going to involve. There's that ark that needs to be built. There's that vessel that needs to be constructed, and it is not yet complete. So, once again, it is my responsibility today to go out and do as much as I possibly can. When death came, and it did, the flood waters came to the earth, the world outside the ark died. The Bible says that Noah and those inside the ark were safe. 50+ years. More than 50 years of patient and steadfast service were used. And the Bible says, James 5, verse 10, that we are to look back to that kind of life. Day in, day out, serving God, same project. Noah didn't quit. He may have had some discouraging days. There surely were some days where things didn't go right, but he did not quit. Faithful to God every single day. And James says in 5, verse 10, that you look back to those examples, walking with God, faithful to God, working for God every single day. So from the scriptures, we have a model speaker. We have a model walker. We have a model worker. We now turn to a model of perseverance. And just as you can guess who the model worker was, Job, you can probably guess who the model was when it comes to perseverance. Religious and non-religious people generally know the basic facts about Job. I don't know if you saw it or not, but a few days ago, there was a lady, a public figure, involved with presenting news that has been diagnosed with cancer. I found it interesting that she described how the doctor told her about the diagnosis. She said, I went to the doctor. And the doctor didn't just come out and say, oh, you have cancer. The doctor was very tactful. The doctor was guarded. The doctor said something like, your results were positive. The lady, as she talked about how the doctor presented that information, said, the doctor allowed me to fill in the blanks. The doctor used tact. The doctor apparently thought that the diagnosis would be maybe too difficult for the patient. As the diagnosis sunk in, and the lady processed that information, she was told, you have some hope. Your cancer is only in stage 2. It was caught early. And there are good treatment options available. As this lady described what her doctor had said and what she is facing, she thinks she'll be fine. When you look at Job, though, that's not true for this fellow. He was not fine. Early on in the book of Job, you see that this fellow is blasted, literally, from all sides. Bad news coming, it seems like, from every direction. And it wasn't just that there was a big blast and then it stopped. But the Bible says that bad news that Job received, it kept coming and coming and coming, and then his friends show up, and it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. As you look at the book of Job, the Bible tells us, the Bible makes it clear that Job made some mistakes along the way. He was not a perfect man as he went through this dreadful experience. But you know, the Bible tells us this about Job. In spite of all the bad, in spite of all the negative things that happened, he never threw in the towel. He was someone who, in spite of everything, he persevered. When you think about Job, we have here an example, James 5, verse 10. We have a model which says, never give up when it comes to living the Christian life. Things may be tossed in your direction in all kinds of ways. But if you are a new Christian, if you are an old Christian, if you are someone who is suffering and you can't understand that suffering, if you are someone who is being treated unjustly and you think, this is not fair, this is not right, why am I being treated so poorly? The book of Job says, it gives us an example, it gives us a model that says, never, ever quit. The book of Job says, there is hope. And that hope may not be manifested today, it may not be evident tomorrow, it may not appear within the next week, the next month, in their lifetime perhaps, but it's there. And that example says you keep pressing on. You continue to fight the spiritual battle because in the end, you win. Along with perseverance, as we think about examples, we also find as we look at the scriptures, once again, James 5:10, some examples when it comes to faithfulness. We could probably cite a number of different characters for faithfulness or commitment, but the one that stands out to me is Moses. Now, Moses is a bit like Job in that he was not a perfect man. Moses had his bad days. Moses certainly was not a sin-free man, but he is a shining example of faithfulness. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 5, you have there a statement about Moses and his faithfulness. The text says that Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Imagine God making that statement about someone. Imagine God making that statement about us. You are faithful in all of God's house. Not just a servant, not just helpful. But the Bible says that you are faithful, and not just faithful here or faithful in most areas, but you are faithful in all of God's house. Here is a fellow like Job who had a lot of obstacles, and yet in spite of all those challenges, in spite of many uphill battles, this man decided, I am going to be faithful to God, and I'm going to be faithful to the best of my ability in all things. The Bible commends him. The Bible commends him in a very wonderful way. When we start looking at the scriptures in terms of James 5, verse 10, the Bible gives us many, many powerful examples. Examples that we're to learn from. Examples which say it is possible for us to live in this way. These were people just like us, flesh and blood. They dealt with the same struggles. They had, in many respects, a lot of things that they lacked, in many respects, a lot of things that we now have. So James says you look at these models, you learn from these models, and most importantly, you follow these models. Now, if you've been keeping up with the people, and I notice that some have, you should have on your paper right now, or you should see on the outline that we've gone through five names. A model speaker is what we've looked at, a model walker, a model worker, a model in perseverance, and then with Moses, a model in faithfulness. We're ready for our sixth model or example, and this is a model of piety, or we might say godliness. More than one man is referred to as Joseph in the Bible, but we want to think about the Joseph that is described in the New Testament, the Joseph that was married to Mary, the Joseph that helped care for the Lord. As you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, as you get through the genealogies, you find that Joseph is described as a righteous man. He was a godly man. He was a pious man. Now, that godliness was not godliness in the sense of how the world sees it. He wasn't just good according to the people of the world, but he was good, he was pious, he was righteous in the sense that God defines it as. Mary was with child. Joseph, of course, had not been involved with that, and he was thinking about what he might do. Now, I find it interesting that Joseph did not begin to holler and scream at Mary. She was with child, and he didn't go off on a tangent and say, well, I know what you did, and lost it. The Bible says he didn't do that. Matthew 1, verse 20 says that Joseph thought on these things. He received a divine message. And surely as he thought about that message, he thought, if I accept this message, that's going to mean hardship in my life. If I'm doing what I'm hearing, this is going to create some serious difficulties for me. Yet as you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says he did what he had been commanded. Here is a man who's given a divine command. Here is a man who has given a message from God, and it certainly was not going to be an easy command. This command was not going to be carried out within a matter of days, weeks, months. It was going to require years and surely some difficulties, great difficulties on his part. Yet, as we look at the scriptures, the Bible says he was given that command, he was given that divine instruction, and he was willing to obey. He didn't argue. He didn't run around telling people, well, an angel has spoken with me. He received a heavenly command and he obeyed it. Religious people who are righteous people obey God's commandments. They don't quibble. They don't squabble. They don't squawk. They don't debate. They don't try to argue with God. The Bible example, James 5 verse 10, is that if we are a person who is trying to be a servant of God and there is a command in God's word, we do our best to fulfill it. He said it. That's what we want to do. And we seek to be quick in our obedience. Leaving the New Testament and turning back to the Old, I'm going to read from just one place today, and that's going to come from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 10 through 20. It's a longer reading if you want to be heading back there. The next fellow on our list is also a well-known character. This is David. Now, a lot of different points could be made about David when it comes to looking at examples from his life. But I want to look at David as a model from the standpoint of praise. When you look at David, he is someone who exemplifies praise. He honored God in all kinds of ways. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, probably shocking or stunning by our standards. But as you look at that chapter, the Bible says when David was trying to prepare some materials for the temple, he gave more than 100 tons of gold to help build the temple. So if you wanted a model, you could say with David, he was a generous man, and there certainly would be plenty of material to make that point. But beyond being generous, beyond doing many, many good things, he, as we look at his example, should be noted for the praise. Many of our psalms were written written by David. And certainly those psalms, as you go through them, even if you just scan them, you find that they overflow with praise. But let's see what he says. 1 Chronicles 29, let's start with verse 10 and read down through verse 20. Wherefore David, the Bible says, blessed Jehovah before all the assembly. And David said, blessed be thou, O Jehovah, the God of Israel, our Father. Be blessed forever and ever. Thine, O Jehovah, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is thine, is the kingdom, O Jehovah. And thou art exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou rulest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee. We praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come from thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Jehovah, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house, for thy holy name cometh of thy hand, for it is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now I have seen with joy thy people that are present here. They're also offering these things willingly. O Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts and the hearts of thy people, and prepare thy heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. And David said to all the assembly, now bless Jehovah your God. And all the assembly blessed Jehovah, the God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped Jehovah and the king. Many passages could be given, but I think this one for me really sums it up. David was a model. He's an example when it comes to praising and honoring God. Willing to do that individually, willing to do that in a very public way on this occasion. The Bible, as we start looking at the people, sometimes negatively, but today we're going to emphasize the positive. The Bible gives us numerous examples. to show us how to live, to show us how to love God, serve God, and have heaven as our home. Two more examples are left. And the final two names are going to be Abraham and Jonathan. What we would represent or stand for with Abraham is certainly not difficult. Abraham, as far as his example, we would associate the idea or the word faith with him. Abraham was that man who was too old to have a child, past the time in life. But God said, you're going to have a son. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God. And then as that son came along, it was as God said, some time passed. It was time, God said, to offer that son. That was Isaac. Isaac's life was put on the line. Abraham was willing to do that. Abraham, in his life, the text says he was convinced that God would raise that child from the dead if his life ended up being taken. Abraham was that man that was told to leave behind his family, leave behind your country. You go into the place where I'm going to tell you. And Abraham was willing to go. Once again, he didn't squawk, he didn't squabble, he didn't argue with God. Now, like Moses and like Job, Abraham was not a perfect man. You cannot look at this fellow and say he was a flawless man. That's true for all of our examples, except the Lord. But he was someone who operated by faith on a regular basis, and the Bible sets that example for us as one to follow. Our ninth and final person is Jonathan. When you think about Jonathan, you'd have to put him, in my mind, in the category of a model friend. In our time, a lot of people want friends. A lot of people are searching for friends. A friend is that individual that we may want to spend time with, do things with, share things with, talk with, communicate with on a regular basis. Jonathan was a great friend. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, the Bible talks about David and Jonathan. Their hearts were knit together. They were close friends. And what that man did for David is a model for us. Christians should make the best possible friends. I don't know if you've ever looked at the Christian life from that perspective, but if you are a friend of someone, you should be one of the best friends that you can possibly be. If anybody has the capacity to be a good friend to others, Christian or not, it should be the one who is a child of God. If we'll think about the example from Jonathan's life, that example of friendship, plus the other examples that we've looked at for this morning, a model speaker, a model walker, a model worker, a model of perseverance, a model when it comes to faithfulness, Moses, a model of godliness, Joseph, a model of praise, David. We really, as we start looking at these characters, we find them all summed up in Jesus, don't we? The Lord was someone who speaks through his death. Still communicates with us that way, just like Abel. He was someone who walked with a father, as we see from Enoch. He was that perfect worker. He was the one who persevered. He was the one who always pursued holiness. He honored the Father. And certainly Jesus is the perfect friend. God didn't put those examples in the text to just fill up space. He didn't preserve those examples so we could just do some light reading before bed. But he said, these are men who have exemplified certain qualities that I have approved of, and these are the qualities that I want you to have. James 5, verse 10. 9 different traits we've looked at this morning. If we're a Christian, are those the kinds of qualities that typify us? They need to be. Maybe we're someone who's not yet a Christian. We think, well, those sound like pretty good things to have and live by. They are. They're good to live by for the non-Christian. But for the non-Christian, there is no eternal value in trying to model our lives after those 9 people and the 8 more that we want to look at after lunch. The only value is taking those lives and applying those qualities from the standpoint of a Christian. And that process, it's the same for everybody. We've got to believe in Christ. And once we have that belief, there's got to be that repentance. We're turning our life around so we can start to emulate those qualities. We confess that Christ is the Son of God. We're buried with Christ in baptism, Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. And then the Bible says we're raised to walk in the newness of life. That life is new in part because we're beginning to follow the qualities that we've outlined today. Where do we stand in the sight of God? Someone who's a Christian, someone who's trying to look at those examples and be that kind of person, or someone who says, that's just not me. We're on a road that leads somewhere. And if that road is not to the path that leads to life, God gives us at least one more chance to write things, to either become a Christian by his plan, or if we have become a Christian, to get back on the straight and narrow way. This morning, can we help you in either of those ways? Or another. That's what we're asking, and hope you'll answer as we stand and sing the selected song.